Sometimes maybe I'm too passionate. I get so excited about what I'm doing or what I've discovered. So I think that translates into my work. I think it translates into make. I think it translates into the messy chaos fun.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Each show will feature someone using their unique talent to create something from nothing. I'm Justin Lewis. On today's show, Kisa Hausman is going to share the story of how she became interested in art, her shop Make, and will describe a project she is working on for Baptist Health. Today I'm with Kisa Hausman at her shop here at Make. Kisa, I want to start by talking about your academic background.
My undergraduate degree is a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Studio Art Painting, and my graduate study is at Vanderbilt in Art History and Historical Techniques. My training is specifically a classical training, so it's heavy, heavy on real core basics, lots and lots of drawing classes, lots of figure drawing classes, lots and lots of really core technique process. So it's not a stylistic development program. It's really, here's how everything works. We're going to teach you how to do this. And then you're going to take that once you get out of school and develop your style with it. So I've been taught to think. I've been taught to think about my paintings. I am extremely intentional about my artwork. I sometimes overthink. Every piece that goes into it has to have meaning. I never realized how much it would help me teaching other people, because when they say, how can I make it do this? I have those answers to come to them. And if I don't have the answers, we'll learn it together.
What led you to going into major in art?
So what happened was I expressed interest in drawing. My mother found someone that would teach some lessons. And it was the type of very strict drawing, very classical format, you know, drawing cones and spheres. And it was a sweet little old lady down the street. It was a lot of encouragement, but really the aha moment was about fourth grade. My mother put me in the community watercolor classes, and I was the only child in there. Everybody else was a grandparent, you know, a little bit older, but significantly older than a fourth grader. When you went in there and you were surrounded by all these older people that thought, number one, it was sweet that a younger child was in there, but they were full of encouragement. And I literally thought I was the greatest artist in the world in fourth grade because everybody in my watercolor class told me so. Of course, they were all 65 and they were like, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. But that aha moment of how much I reflect back on that as an adult. And that's the time that I think I remember for me, I loved art anyway. I never wanted to major in anything else. I started school, you know, bringing my portfolio in, getting into the art program. I never took a class outside of my program because I was in love with art history. I was in love with the process of art. I was in love with art. I ate it, breathed it, lived it, and really can't think of doing anything else.
Was there other artistic talent in your family?
Well, I had a great aunt Talia who was probably one of my greatest inspirations. I adored this aunt. She was very she, and she was extremely talented. And we spend our summers up with family in Cape Cod. And I would go to her house and look at her work and talk to her about her art. And I just adored her. She's a shining light when I think of that. My father was not a visual artist, but he was a poet. And he had his PhD in geology, so you had a scientist coming in with a science background, but he would write this beautiful poetry. He wrote us poems. I have poems he wrote me when I was a child. He wrote my mother poems. He wrote just poems about life and when he was searching or frustrated. So I want to just say these outlets come out not just in visual. I have talented brothers and sisters that don't necessarily do visual arts, but they do lots of creative pursuit.
So the creative thinking is there, whether or not it's particularly visual arts. And at the very least, it sounds like your family was very encouraging to let you spread your wings and be artistic and do your thing.
We were the house that had, you know, the dogs that ran through with the muddy footprints, and all the kids came over because the marble machine was set up on the dining room table, and it was the house where people gathered. It was a little messy. It was a little chaotic, but it was always fun. It was always fun. There was never a deterrent of you can't make something. You'd come up with some idea, and my mother would or my father would help find some of the things, or you'd have some crazy idea, and other kids came to our house. So it definitely was an environment that was, I would say, chaotic and fun and creative and loud and messy. We're definitely not Italian. If you see our, we're all blonde and very Scandinavian looking, but we would fit into that mold of that loud, crazy, fun, creative family.
When I hear you talking like that, I can't help but think about your shop and how it's kind of creative, loud, messy, sort of, in an organized way. Do you think that has kind of translated to that? Have you thought about it in that way?
I think my whole life is kind of a little bit that way. I go at 100% all the time. But I want people to be able to come in here and feel that they could, I guess, in a way, have entered my house, mm-hmm. be where you could make a mess, where maybe it's not allowed at home to spill paint on the floor, but you right. can do it here. Yeah. Or it's not allowed to build the marble machine on your dining room table, but you could do it here. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's I never put that connection together, but that's probably how it's all connected.
So let's talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of Make, where that idea sprang from and how it's grown to what it is?
It's an evolution that's happened over a period of several years. I had a studio in Lower Town, and I was just doing my fine art out of it. I do a lot of mural work, a lot of commissions. I was having some gallery exhibitions. At the same time, some of my decorative products sprang to life. An Etsy shop was growing and rapidly developing. Then in addition, people were seeing that and were saying, hey, can I come learn how to do that? There was some resistance at some time, because when you're an artist and you have your personal space, you're like, oh, can I let somebody in my messy personal space of my creativity? It slowly came about that everything was growing in all aspects, and my studio was much too small to contain that. So I started looking for a larger location, and my daughter and I were walking downtown, and I have to give her 100% credit for this building, because she said, Mom, there's your space right there. And she laid it all out in her head, and I said, you're right, that's it. So that's a little bit about how this came to be, and it's been, the doors have been open about 2 years, but it's evolved so much in the 2 years. There are additional studio spaces. I'm very flexible about how things grow. I'm very cognizant that I still need to get my own work done, because I am a working artist, mm-hmm. not just let's have a public shop. But I think that's important that I'm a working artist, so that you actually have a sense of what goes on with a working artist. What am I working on? Because anything I'm doing, or any commission I'm pursuing, or any mural I'm painting, will translate into what I'm going to teach here or what I'm going to offer here. And it keeps it very current and very up to date as to what an actual working artist would bring mm-hmm. into a classroom setting or a public venue.
It's hard to talk to you very long without recognizing your passion. And really, I think all artists are passionate about their work, no matter what their particular flavor is going to be passionate about that work, whether it's music, whether it's painting, whether it's sculpting, whether it's writing. But I don't think all artists have the same passion for helping other people access their artistic side, but that's something unique that I see with you.
There is something so exciting about watching somebody succeed in something they didn't think they were going to succeed in. I also think back to that fourth grader sitting in that watercolor class mm-hmm. and all those little gray-haired grandmothers telling me, I'm the best artist ever. And you leave with a bounce in your step. And how many times do you leave with a bounce in your step when you go somewhere? Well, hopefully that happens at Make.
I have to say that I love Make being where it is. As I drive downtown on Broadway, you've got this beautiful mural that just completely
illuminates that scene where it's the opposite of an eyesore. It's just, it looks great right there, you know, driving down Broadway.
We consider make the gateway to downtown, mm-hmm. and we want it to reflect that. There are murals on the back that are interactive. There will be more murals that appear. It's an exciting opportunity for people to look at public art and smile mm-hmm. and interact. I think there are more Instagram photos that happen outside on the mural, mm-hmm. which, how exciting, because if you're relaying that, what a positive image of sure. Paducah as a creative city. It's a way of looking at art differently. It takes it off the wall from the inside and shares it with the rest of the world.
Speaking of the rest of the world, you had a chance to go abroad with your daughter recently. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
This was an opportunity to go participate in artist residency outside of Barcelona, Spain, this past September. We were in Can Serrat, which is at the base of Montserrat, about an hour north of Barcelona. There are multiple artists. It's a 200-year-old winery that's been converted to an artist location. There are several studios. This was a journey I took to let her experience this, but also, because you're an artist, you're constantly learning. The purpose of this excursion for me personally, in my personal development, not as a mother-daughter trip, was to push my abstracting. So this was the thought that I would go and just release, which if you've met me, it was not. I have a very intense passion about what I do. So it was, as an artistic journey, frustrating, but isn't that, it helped me also look into the eyes of how the students learn when they're trying something that goes against what they do every day, which could be simply picking up a paintbrush. Yeah. I learned some things about myself, and it shows you that your artistic journey is never ending. I have over 20 years of professional experience, and I'm sitting in this beautiful studio holding my brush up going, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And I've done so much painting my entire life. That's what I've been taught to do. That's what I've been trained to do. That's what I do. And so it's those, even, you know, at 45 years old, you're getting these aha moments of, wait, now I know what this tool is supposed to do, and I can't not think about it. I do thousands of paintings all the time. I don't expect every single one to be perfect, but I expect to learn something from every single one.
Baptist Health is commissioned you to work on a project in their cancer center. Can you talk a little bit more about the details involved in that project?
What it is it's 9 large pieces, and they're all leaves of trees, and they all represent something you need for your fight in cancer. It brings all my training, all my artwork, and my teaching together. Where it becomes a teaching element is Baptist is working with me to enable, you know, 1 to 2 survivors to come in and paint each piece with me. So they're bringing their journals, their pictures, their stories of their cancer fight, and we're going to paint these pieces together. Wow. So it's kind of a culmination of all that training, all that teaching, all that opening up, and all that intentionality, and getting to do it with a survivor. I can't even tell you how excited I am about these. It almost brings me to tears. It's a beautiful, it's what art's about. It's healing. And the whole idea is that this is in the cancer center, where you have people walking by and they're fighting that fight. Mm-hmm. And here are these pieces done by survivors. So whether they're going to be on that side of the survivor or not, they're going to get that encouragement from that. But they also see people that walk the path, steps they've walked, paths they've walked. I don't even know how to express it, how beautiful that I think that kind of art is.
Thanks for joining me on the show today, Kisa. I've enjoyed talking to you, getting to know you, and learning more about MAKE and your particular style of art. So this is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. And I'm Justin Lewis. I want to close out with this last story. You have a puzzle piece at the new restaurant, Mellow Mushroom, and I would just like for you to describe it a little bit.
Well, they asked several artists to work on collaboration and do the puzzle pieces, which I thought was what a neat way to involve the community. They said you could do something that was mellow mushroom related, and I tend to not paint mushrooms. I mean, I'm not against it. I just didn't do it. I do a lot of florals, and so I was sitting there thinking about it, and I wanted to be a little bit intentional, but I wanted it to be fun, so I decided to paint a dandelion because it's weed.
And with that ends this season of Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I've been your host, Justin Lewis, and I'd like to add a few thank yous. First of all, thanks to all the guests of the show. Most of the recordings were completed before the first show aired. That means the majority of these talented folks were willing to participate without knowing what they were getting themselves into. Many thanks to Joshua Horn of Socially Present for the professional quality logo and Daniel Niehoff for the catchy theme music. Some guys from Leonard the Band threw in some music used during Grace Yoakum's episode. Thanks, guys. For the special episodes, a thank you goes out to Stephen Montgomery, who was kind enough to allow us to use Loud and Clear Studios. Besides being a guest, he also contributed editing of those shows. Of course, much gratitude to all the fine folks at WKMS for the partnership in this project, especially station director Chad Lampe for the editorial guidance. Most of all, to you listeners, thanks for the support. And again, this has been Something from Nothing. I'm your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.